Chapter 2, let's go there. Let's get started there. We're looking at the gifts of God. We've discovered four. Now, God gives many gifts, of course, but there are five specific we're laying the groundwork for as we look at the study, What is Your Ministry? And it's important to know these things, or at least have them in our minds as we get started. And the first one is the gift of God's written word. We discovered that through scripture as well. James chapter 1 tells us about that and how God's word gives salvation. It gives blessings. It's received by repenting of sin and bowing to its authority, believing what it says and applying it to our life. And that doesn't change after you get saved, but that is a gift that God gives to us. The gift of God's Son. Looked at Jesus Christ in 1 John chapter 5. He was the scriptures tell us about him. The Bible tells us his name. Jesus is him. He gives everlasting life and salvation from sin, and he's received by calling on him in faith. We looked at that in Romans chapter 10. The gift of eternal life, Romans 6:23. If you know that verse, would you say it with me? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the gift of eternal life. It's that gift that's within a gift. We said and shared, it's what Christ gives as we receive him. Christ's death was the sacrifice that collected the sin's wages. We can have him pay for it, which he wants to do, which is what he did. Or we can pay for it ourselves. The difference is putting faith in what he did and receiving him as Savior. Christ's resurrection is necessary for salvation from sin and proof of eternal life because he did it. He said he's the first fruits. And will be that way as well for us. Acts chapter 2 is where we want to go tonight and get started. The fourth gift we'll look at tonight, as you can see, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verse number 38, and here's what it says, verse 38 and 39. Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized. Am I in chapter 2? Yeah. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. We're talking about our ministry and how do we get there? Well, first of all, we need to understand the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then hopefully one more tonight, if we get to it, we'll see. But let's ask God's help before we go any further. Would you bow with me? I'll pray for us, and we'll discover some more of God's word tonight. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that he came, manifested your great love for us on this earth, lived the sinless life. Thank you, Lord, that he went to the cross and bore our sins on the cross. And thank you, Lord, that he rose again. And we ask, God, that you would just help us to remember that every day. He's alive, and he's preparing a place for all of us, but not just us, but those that would put their faith in Christ, and help us to be a part of that equation, Lord, by being a witness for him. Now, Lord, I ask you to be with us as we open the scriptures. Anytime we speak of the Holy Spirit, we need his help. We need your help, Lord. Satan would love to steal away any truth about him because he has a major part in our work on this earth for you. So we pray, Father, that you'd help us to see what you want us to see tonight. Thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The gift of the Holy Spirit. Do have some scripture here if we could have some help with that. Who would take, let's see, Acts chapter 8, verses 14 through 16. Acts 8, 14 through 16. Who would read those verses for us tonight? We'll get them in just a minute. And Abigail's got that. Thank you very much. How about Acts chapter 9? There's a pretty good bundle of verses there. Acts chapter 19, excuse me. Acts 19, verses 1 through 6. Verses 1 through 6. All right, thank you, Kim. And then we have a couple others here. We'll go to Ephesians 4 and verse 30. Who would take that? That's just a single verse tonight. Ephesians 4:30. All right, thanks, Mike. I appreciate that. I knew I could count on you, brother. Mike's going to read Ephesians 4:30 for us, right? Thank you. That's part of your discipleship training, brother. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 19. 1 Thessalonians 5, 19. Anyone else wants to be volunteered? I'll do that for you too, brother. All right. Eric's going to read that. Thank you. And then the rest of us can go to John 14. Let's go ahead and do that. John 14. And let's take a look here at verse 16 and 17 of John 14. And we're going to spend some more time here in John 14 in just a bit. But take a look at verse number 16, if you would please, with me, and 17. Here's what the Bible says. Jesus speaking here, he says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." The Holy Spirit, first of all, as we consider the gift of the Holy Spirit is a gift promised by Jesus. Jesus, he's the one who told the disciples, tells us today, "I'm going to give you the Spirit of God. He's going to dwell within you." Eternal life includes the Holy Spirit's presence. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. I didn't give that out, I don't think, right? Ephesians 1. Let's go there. Look at verse 12 with me, if you would. Ephesians 1, verse 12 through 14. And would you read these verses with me? Let's read them out loud together, verses 12 to verse 14 in Ephesians chapter 1. Let's go ahead and read those together tonight. Let's begin. "That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory." The Bible tells us very clearly we are sealed by the Spirit of God, but he will be with us all through this life. And of course, we'll have his presence in eternal life, but our presence mainly in the presence of Christ. And yet here on earth, we have, the Bible says, his sealed ability to keep us. And we'll read about this in a minute. But until the day of redemption, he says here in redemption of the purchased possession. Are you redeemed tonight?
Yes.
Are you redeemed tonight? If you know Christ as your Savior, you've been redeemed. But there will come a day, the Bible speaks of, and I think we're going to hear about that in just a minute, of redemption, which is no longer do we have to deal with the sin, it's completely gone. When will that day happen for you? Well, there's two possibilities, I guess, but the particular day it's speaking of is not the day you die, but the day you see Jesus face to face, when we are completely redeemed and in his presence, and we will be changed, as the Bible says, and that day comes. Until that day, the Bible says we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. So that's the thought. They're sealed unto the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit is received by calling on Christ for salvation through faith. It is not received through some emotional experience. It is not received through singing and getting excited about things and whatever, meditating and whatnot. That's not how the Holy Spirit is received. It's not received through a message that somehow you feel God speaking to you. He's received by receiving Christ as Savior. That's it. Let's see, though, there's a couple examples in the book of Acts. There is one specifically, Acts chapter number 2, verses 38 and 39. We read that earlier, but here's what the Bible tells us here. Again, this is Peter speaking. And he says, verse number 38, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So faith and trust in Christ, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Now, interesting, in the book of Acts, when in Acts chapter 2, you might remember, how did the disciples receive the Holy Spirit that day? The day of Pentecost, we call it. How did they receive the Holy Spirit that day? He just came. He came. And as Jesus said, as they were meeting together, they had prayed, they were preparing for whatever the Lord had, and the Bible says the Spirit of God entered in to the house and filled them. The Bible says everyone was filled, and all were filled. That's what it says. But there's a couple other instances in the book of Acts when it was not that way. Take a look here, or let's hear from Acts chapter 8, verses 14 through 16. Okay, thank you very much. So here's a point that the disciples had heard about these guys. They had believed on Jesus and what John the Baptist had preached unto them. Now the disciples are getting there to establish the gospel and reach out to people. And they find that these people who had a belief in Christ did not have the Holy Spirit within them. Why do you think that they did not have the Holy Spirit in them? Because they were missing some information about Jesus. They were missing some information. If they were basing their belief on what John the Baptist preached about Jesus, what is it that they're missing in between that time and, let's say, the end of the Gospels? What did Jesus do at the very end of the Gospels? He died on the cross. He rose again. These are some things they didn't know. And whether that's the exact reason or not, we don't know. But obviously that God was dealing with believers in a different way at the time, partly for their help so that they could learn the truth. Chapter 19, verses 1 through 6 gives us another example of this as well.
And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since ye have believed?" And they said unto him, "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." And he said unto them, "Unto what then were ye baptized?" And they said, "Unto John's baptism." Then said Paul, "John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus." When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied.
Okay, thank you. So I got that mixed up. Chapter 19 is where we read about what I just shared. Chapter 8, again, those that put faith in Christ, and yet the disciples were used to lay hands on them. Here in chapter 19, that's what they did as well, because they're missing information, and God used them to give them the gospel. Is that the way it happens today? Well, you just don't know enough about the Bible, so you need our pastor and our deacons to come over, and so they can give you the Holy Spirit. Then you can start doing something for God. Is that what the scriptures tell us today? No, it does not. In fact, it teaches that when we, in the epistles, the letters to the church, that when someone gets saved today, it just shares that the Holy Spirit dwells within them. That is part of salvation. And that's what we base it on, is what those epistles tell us to the churches. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, etc. God wants us to know that we have the Holy Spirit. We don't need the apostles. You don't need any leaders of a church. You just simply need Christ as your Savior. But you must put your faith in Him and Him alone. Him alone. One of the missionary letters tonight, I think, shared about somebody they're praying for who has a knowledge of Jesus, but they don't seem to have a faith alone in Jesus. And that's what they wanted us to pray over. And that's important. And that seems very common around here, wouldn't you say? A lot of people grew up, heard about Christ, heard about God, went to church as a young person. And the faith in Jesus alone isn't there. And here's how you know when you ask them, would you be in heaven if you passed away or died today? Oh, yeah. How come? And almost always the answer is because I was baptized when I was blah, blah, blah years old. How many have heard that before? Because I was baptized. And I'm talking about in Eaton Rapids. You know, you go to Detroit or other places, Chicago, you might hear some different answers. But in this area, that seems to be pretty common. God wants us to understand it's by faith in Jesus alone. And the Holy Spirit dwells within us at that point. The Holy Spirit ministers to believers as they submit to Him, as they submit to Him. God talks about that submission, or lack thereof, I should say, and the importance of it. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 30.
And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption.
Okay, thank you very much. If we're grieving the Spirit, are we gleaning from the Spirit? The Scripture indicates no. No, that doesn't mean He's leaving us. He doesn't leave us, but He's waiting for us to come back around to Him. Amen. He's waiting for us to come back to Him. And God makes it clear that can happen easily, but sometimes it doesn't. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 19.
Quench not the Spirit.
Very good. I bet you have that memorized, don't you?
I did it about
3 years. To grieve, to quench, these are things that cease the Holy Spirit's power in us. Not that we don't get rid of Him. In fact, we can't get rid of Him. Amen. It's like Jesus. You can't get rid of Him. But what is He doing if we're grieving and we're quenching Him? What is He striving to do? He's trying to convict us over that. He's trying, wait a minute, that's not the way to go. You're going the wrong direction. Wait a minute, this is the wrong thing. Come over here and do it my way. Follow God's path, etc. The Holy Spirit, He ministers to believers as they submit to Him. Let's go back to this chapter, John chapter 14. Let's go there. And we see a lot of information about Him Jesus gave us. And what does He do? What does He do? As we submit to Him, what does He do? What can He do? Well, a lot of things. Jesus gives us quite a list here. We're going to start there in verse number 16 of John chapter 14. Verse 16 says this, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever." So the Holy Spirit, as we submit to Him, He's our Comforter, our Comforter. Has anybody ever needed comfort this last 10 months of the year? You know, maybe you lost something or somebody, or didn't know what to do and just needed some comfort, some care. And sometimes there wasn't a person there to do it. But thankfully, there's always the Holy Spirit available to do it. John verse 17, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you." Look again, verse 26, the last part of this passage here. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." The Holy Spirit, as we submit to Him, helps us as the discerner of truth, the discerner of truth. Did you know there's unsaved people that read the Bible? Have you met anybody like that? I've heard of professors in universities, public universities, secular universities. They have the Bible on their shelf. That's just another book to them. But they do peruse through it. But we can look into it and see something different. Why? Because of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, He begins to say, that's you. That's you. That's what you need today. It's truth. And He helps us accept it as truth. He is the discerner of truth. Not only that, but when we hear something that isn't true, He's in the background, He's in the heart, He's saying, wait a minute, I don't think that agrees with my book, my Bible. Why don't you take a look and see? Look in the Word of God. By the way, if you try to use your memory as the source, how far do you think that's going to get you? No, you look in here. Look in here. And let God speak for Himself. He helps us as the discerner of truth. He helps us as the confirmer of Christ's return. Verse 18. And I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth Him no more, but ye shall see Me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in Me, and I in you. Again, as He says, after I share the Spirit of God with you, you'll know. You'll know I'm coming again. Jesus said this to them. It would be years and years and years to go by. Some of them never see Jesus again after Acts chapter 1, etc., until they get to heaven. But God says, listen, He's coming again. Now, did they expect Him to come back in their lifetime? That's been a couple years ago. That's been almost 2,000 years ago. And we're expecting the same thing, aren't we? You know, part of that is because of the Holy Spirit's continued remembrance that Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming. Sunday, we remembered the Lord's table. And every time we do, that always goes in my mind as well. Of course, it's right in the passage here in 1 Corinthians. Let me look at it. 1 Corinthians 11. Let's go there for a second and see. This is all part of God's Spirit reminding us and the Word of God, He's coming again. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26. Verse 26. Let's read that together. Would you read that with me? Verse 26, I'm in 1 Corinthians 11. Let's read it together. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. As we remember Him in that way, God says, this is part of the remembrance. I'm coming again. Holy Spirit wants to remind us of that. God desires us to continue with that hope. He's the confirmer of Christ's return. John 14, verse 15. If ye love Me, keep My commandments. Verse 21. He that hath My commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth Me. And he that loveth Me shall be loved of My Father, and I will love him and will manifest Myself to him. If I submit to the Spirit of God, He can be, what am I looking at here? Help me with my ability to obey Scriptures, my ability to obey Scriptures. Is there anything in the Bible that's hard to do? Well, that depends. That depends. If we're submitted to the Spirit of God, it's not hard. But when we choose something different, when we choose to do it in our own power or whatever, then it becomes complicated. Then it becomes, we got to somehow come up with the answer here. But the Holy Spirit, Bible says, God sent Him, Jesus sent Him, so that we can easily know what to do as we open His Word and submit to Him. And then a final thought, verse 20 to verse 25. Let's read these responsively. How about that? I'll read verse 20. If you read verse 21, we'll go back and forth. Verse 25 is where we'll stop on that. At that day, ye shall know that I am in My Father, and ye in Me, and I in you. Judas saith unto Him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that Thou wilt manifest Thyself unto us and not unto the world?
Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love Me, he will keep My words, and My Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him.
He that loveth Me not keepeth not My sayings. And the word which ye hear is not Mine, but the Father's which sent Me. He's the comforter as we submit to Him. He's the discerner of truth, helps us understand what is God's truth through His Word as well as what we hear. He is the confirmer of Christ's return. He's coming back. The hope is for till the day He returns, as He's the gives us ability to obey the Scriptures. And finally, He helps enhance our love. He's the enhancer for loving Christ. Enhancer for loving Christ. You know, have you ever met somebody you think, man, there's no way I can like them? or the way, maybe it's somebody you've known for a while. I don't even know why they're in our family. You know, we can't like them very easy. But with Jesus, it should never be that way. But because we're human, sometimes it is. The Bible says if we look to our heart, that's the wrong place to look. Amen. The Bible says that the heart is deceitful and wicked, and it would not help us to grow in our love. But if we look to the Holy Spirit, what does He want us to do? He'll help us to love the Lord. Help us to love the Lord. When you love somebody, what's one thing you want to do for them? For them. What's one thing? Class? What's something you want to do for someone that you love? That you love. Be happy. Okay.
Pray.
Okay. Tell them the truth. How about be with them? Guys, you remember when, how many married guys we have? You remember when you wanted to be with your wife?
When you want to
be. Love makes you want to be with that person. Yeah. Anything else? What do you do if you love somebody? Well, I don't know about you guys, but I do. Yeah, I want to be with my wife. Well, the Holy Spirit helps us do what we need to do to love our Savior, to love our Savior. And we need to thank Him, thank God for that. We're going to stop right there. And we're getting to where we need to be so that we can continue on getting to the next part there. But we'll look at that. So let's take time, find a partner, pray, thank God for His Spirit, and submit to Him tonight.